Today on Tips from the Top Floor, I'll talk about how to get the perfect silhouette shot of camels. I will review the latest TFTTF Slack challenge, and Jay is curious about color spaces. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 846 for Thursday, November the 8th, 2018. Hey, hello and welcome. It's Chris Marquardt. And have you been missing me? I've been missing you, for sure. Back from Morocco, back from Rochester, New York. And I was planning to do episodes when I returned from Morocco, but the time between the tour and the trip to the US was so short that it just didn't pan out. And the US trip was a vacation, a dearly needed vacation. So I took the time to wind down, and with all the things we did in Rochester, I seriously didn't really have the time to record. So my apologies for that. But let's make this a catching up episode, because I brought lots of stories. Let's talk about Morocco, because that was such a good experience. And that's from both a photographic side and from a cultural perspective. Morocco is big. Morocco is very diverse. We saw so many different things. It was pretty much far beyond any expectations. And we started out in Marrakech with its awesome market, with its medina and a souk. So many people and interesting things to see. We drove over the Atlas Mountains to go to different places. We visited small Berber villages. We saw palaces and old kasbahs. A kasbah is an old fort. We even got to see the kasbah where the movie Ben-Hur was shot. And a lot of other movies were shot there too. It's very iconic. And the one thing I didn't know is there were still structures standing there that were built for Ben-Hur. And they're still standing there, quite a sight to see. I learned how to make a turban, which you kind of need when you go to the desert and there's a sandstorm and you need something to protect yourself. We stopped at Oasis. We spent a night in a big sand dunes in a camp there, which was very exciting. We got to see amazing desert landscapes, great markets. We ate dates directly from the palm tree, which must be one of the most delicious things that I've ever tasted. Fresh dates. The ones you buy just don't compare to the ones straight from a palm tree. And of course, we visited Fez, where I did buy a hat with the same name, a Fez hat, which I bring home a hat from almost all the photo tours. So we have like a Russian hat and a Nepali hat and all different kinds of hats here. Fez was also the place where we got to visit one of the oldest tanneries in the world. And that was amazing because, hey, the way they treat the leather, the vats of different colors, this is a big area. And visitors get fresh mint leaves to kind of counter the smell. So you would see tourists with like mint leaves stuck in their noses. Because, I mean, let's face it, tanneries don't smell very nice. I didn't think it was too bad. But I grew up on the countryside, so we even managed to get access right on the floor there, in the middle of it, in between the workers. And that's a pretty tough job these guys are doing, so kudos for doing that day in and day out. And we finally went to the city of Chefchaouen, which is also known as the Blue City, or the city of the cats. It often gets compared with Santorini in Greece. There is like buildings are painted in pastel blue tones, and they even have some of the streets are blue, and there's lots of cats. And it's just an amazingly photogenic place to visit. It's just wonderful. But by the way, there are photos online. I will put a link in the show notes so you can look at them if you want to. And okay, one thing that I think I'll have to let you in on a secret, because the title shot of this episode shows a sunrise behind camels on the dunes. And I get some very good feedback on that shot. People saying like, oh, this is the perfect shot. We love it. And I love the shot too. But, and this might take a bit away from the shot, is that it's kind of an arranged shot. Because while we were in the dunes, we arranged for camels. We hired camels because, I mean, imagine you want to take the picture of a camel caravan on a dune in front of a sunrise. That was the plan. But that's virtually impossible to get. You'd have to go back there many, many times in the early mornings in the hope that the light and the location work out perfectly and the timing of someone taking their camels there would fit right in. And the chances of that happening are minute. So because that was almost impossible to get the way we wanted it, yeah, we cheated a bit. We hired the camels and we had them walk on the dunes in front of the sunrise, like several times left and right and back and forth until we were happy with our shots. Now, of course, setting up a photo shoot like this is like one thing. But then as much as you prepare, other things have to fall in place. So that's never a guarantee for a perfect shot, especially when nature is involved. And the rest had to work out too. For example, when we arrived, there were clouds moving in. And yes, in the Sahara, clouds, that kind of shattered my expectations a bit. It's just that, you know, that was my first time in Sahara. And yes, it does rain there sometimes. And yes, there are sometimes clouds. So, but then from a photographic point of view, I prefer clouds over a boring flat sky. Clouds in the sky just make it more interesting. So I was kind of happy with the clouds. It was just a bit unsure in terms of the timing because the clouds began to move in before the sun was rising. So there was a good chance for the sunrise to not even happen for us. And that's where we got super lucky because, you know, the clouds moved in, but then they ended up kind of leaving that wedge of sky open right above the dunes. And this would work so well for a frame to frame the camels. And then when the sun came up over the edge, I managed to get that camel to walk right on top of the sun. So the sun is right between the camel's legs and there was this wedge of sky and the camel's silhouette and the sun just peeking over the edge. And that combined with a small aperture, I think I shot it at f20, 22, made a nice starburst, you know, like point light sources tend to become little stars. And that's how the title photo of this episode came along. So I would say it's a good mixture of preparation and serendipity. Okay, there's another Morocco-related thing that I found interesting. That when we were there in Marrakesh, we visited the Bahia Palace. It's a beautiful palace, really nice. And we knew that we'd have to be the kind of the first ones in because it's a very touristy place. That bit of the tour was touristy. And you had to kind of be there in front of that gate before everyone else is there. And then when they open the door, you have to be the first in to get some of these spaces empty, you know, not filled with tourists. And then you have all these strangers in the photo and you don't want that. So we did that. We went there early. We stood there. We made sure we were the first ones in. And then you take the wide shots first, you know, you make sure you get the overview shots that you want. And then later you take the details. Then later you go in when other people are there and then you can just concentrate on a few details. And that's what we did. And during this detail session, we came across a couple of rooms in the Bahia Palace that have colorful stained glass windows on the doors and above the doors. And then when the sun shines through them, you get these amazing colorful lights on the walls. And of course, move slowly through the room with the sun. And of course, we were in there with our cameras and captured some of the beauty there. And then, completely unrelated, when I was back home, I looked at the new products that Apple had announced and I came across a page about the new MacBook Air. And I see this photo on that page. It's like a photo of a girl with colorful lights on her. Now, of course, that could have been anywhere, right? But then I noticed the mosaic on the wall behind her and the door on her right side that she was standing in front of. And of course, I went to my Lightroom, and lo and behold, it was the exact same corner that I had taken photos of just like a week earlier, even at the same exposure. So yeah, that kind of, I don't even know what that means, but I'll link those images in the show notes. So Apple, if you will need someone to shoot your next campaign, hey, you know where to find me. All right, I could tell many stories from Morocco, but I think I'll leave it at that for today. Because, I mean, there's more from Morocco. There's also, in the meantime, again, as I said, I was also in Rochester, in upstate New York. And that also got me into quite a few exciting places, and I have lots of great stories to tell from there. Like about our high-speed video pumpkin smashing night on Halloween, or about meeting Ted Kinsman, an assistant professor for photographic sciences at the Rochester Institute of Technology, or trying not to drown my camera while standing in the spray of a big waterfall. But yeah, I'll leave those for future episodes. So let's get into the next part of this show.
Hello, everyone. Ravstar the Release Pixie here, and it's just about the beginning of October, so it's time for our next Slack challenge. We had some great entries on the Reflection Challenge. I was able to get out and take photos a couple of times for it, so I'm keeping that motivation going. And while I was shooting my final one, I ended up using a candle and got some reflections off of that. But what was interesting is I also accidentally captured a silhouette when I was shooting that, and I thought it was really cool. So I think for the next Slack challenge...
Okay, stop. Before we get into the next section, well, first of all, no, it's not October, but Matt is not wrong because he sent me that in October. This is totally on me. It is November, and I was just way too busy. But anyway, this just makes this next challenge kind of a bit of a shorter one, right? So, let's do what we always do at this point. Let me review the last challenge. As per usual, I've picked three photos from the challenge, from the Slack challenge channel, and I'll discuss them here. The topic was reflections and or reflection, and you submitted 24 entries. That's cool. That's awesome. So the first photo that I picked is by Jan Müller, titled Last Time It Rained, End of July. And yep, Jan, you hit the topic on the spot. It is a reflection. What we're seeing is a street and people and the camera being really low, almost touching, I guess, a puddle in the street. And that is a great technique for reflections in general. Go low. If you don't have a huge surface of water, then going low will make that surface bigger. You get a big reflection from a smaller puddle. I used this technique successfully with some tide pools in San Diego, where the sky reflected and the tide pools weren't that big, but going low made them so much bigger and so much more interesting. And going low with the camera can even make, let's say, a somewhat shiny floor really shiny, really reflective. So I've successfully used this in other places. It's a great thing to play with. And along the same line, Simon Frost did a similar one, but he did an additional thing. He turned this one upside down, which gives it some additional twist, literally. That's not an official review for Simon's photo, but just bring it up because it was similar. The second photo in the Slack challenge that piqued my interest was a picture by Justin Bowditch. Titled Some Reflections on Composition in Photography. And I must say that is a smart picture. That's a really smart photo. So what we see is it's black and white, and it has the word composition printed on paper. It might be on a book, or he might have printed that out. It's not clear from the picture. It's not important. But then he put three spoons above the word, and... So with their concave side to the bottom, as you would put a spoon. And that is a great play with shape, because those spoons are reflective, and the surface on the bottom of a spoon is convex. Is it? Yeah, it's convex. And that distorts the letters in a really interesting way, like a wide-angle lens a bit. And yeah, so it's a great play with shape. And of course, the word composition and the word reflection and to reflections on composition. I mean, that's a great play with words. And yeah, you use that in a very playful way. And I like this. I really like this. Last but not least, the third picture that I picked is by Eran Pinasov, the cat boy photo. And I love this. I love this. So what I'm looking at a photo, by the way, they're all linked from the show notes. You're seeing a photo of a boy's face, or rather the eye. It's not the entire face. It's a through shot, right? Something obstructing the view. And that kind of makes it more interesting, right? You have stuff that doesn't... The moment you don't show everything, you leave stuff out, that almost always makes it a bit more interesting, especially when it's clear what the subject is. So the viewer just starts, the mind starts going, right? So that's one thing. But then the doorway that the boy is looking through towards the camera reflects back on his eye. And the eye is kind of the center point anyway. We as humans are trained, kind of, I think, genetically programmed to look into other eyes. And that's what you do there. You look at the eye, and that door reflects back. And it's a white door. So it's left and right. It's white. And then there's that slit, that dark door slit that shows as a vertical dark line on the eye. And it does indeed look like a cat's eye. And it's such a great example for like shaping reflections. And other photographers use that in the studio by using studio lights and flashes. Strip lights, for example, in studios will create specific shapes in the shadows, but also in the catch lights in the eyes. Ring lights are another example for like specific shapes. So, Eran, kudos for noticing that and for capturing it so nicely. And thanks to everyone else who participated. Now let's hear what Matt has for our next challenge.
Really cool. So I think for the next Slack challenge, I want to use silhouettes. So and hopefully Chris can elaborate a little bit more on if he has any tips for shooting silhouettes. But for the next Slack challenge, the one due at the end of November, I want to see some silhouettes. So everybody go out and take some new photos. They got to be, you know, new from October 1 through the end of November 2018. And pick one, give it a name, a title, however you want to do that. Post it in the Slack. And at the end of the time, Chris will pick a couple, two, three, sometimes four. And he'll talk about them on the show and post links on the Tips from the Top Floor homepage to the photos. So have a good time, everybody, and happy shooting.
All right. So the next challenge is silhouette. And I think I won't have to explain too much about what a silhouette is. It's the outline of a figure against a brighter background. Usually the figure itself doesn't have too much detail in the photo. It's black or almost black. Just a tech tip in case your camera gets in your way and tries to automatically steer you in the wrong direction. If the figure tends to turn out too bright, try shooting it with some negative exposure compensation, or try to find a brighter background that might work as well. Anyway, here's how you can participate in this very short Slack challenge. So, hey, hurry up. You only have till the end of November. If you're already on the TFTTF Slack, go to the new challenge channel that's named challenge-NOV2018. That's for the November challenge. And for those of you already Slack members, I'll put a direct link to the new challenge channel. And it's a difficult word. I'll put a direct link to the new challenge channel in the show notes. And if you're not on the TFTTF Slack just yet, it's easy to get on there. It's free. Check out tfttf.com/yslack, WHYSLACK, to get access. Our CIO, Rusty Russ, will be happy to get you on board. And as usual, oh, by the way, if you upload and you get a message that the Slack is full, again, I explained this in one of the last episodes. Don't worry about it. It's just that the some of the older messages are being kind of not accessible anymore, but you can post your photos still on the Slack, or you can post them somewhere else and just link them on the Slack. That will work too. And as usual, there's no prizes. The reason for you to participate is really motivation. That's what it is about, to motivate yourself to go out and shoot, to have a reason to get off your behind and take some new photos. And as usual, don't just pull out an old photo from your Lightroom catalog, take a new photo. That's really the point here. You have till the end of November, and I'm looking forward to seeing your photos for the Silhouette Challenge.
Hi, Chris. This is Jay calling from Pennsylvania. I have a question for you that I'm sure you've received before, but here it goes. What color space do you use in your camera and on your monitor? Is it RGB or sRGB, and why? Thanks a lot. Appreciate your show. Love it very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jay. First and foremost, I mean, this question has been here before, but I know it comes up over and over again. And so let's get the most important thing out of the way for your camera. First and foremost, if you shoot RAW, then that color space setting in your camera doesn't matter, right? That just doesn't have an effect on the RAW photo. But if you shoot JPEG, it does matter. For your screen, you wouldn't typically set a color space, but the screen has a color space, and that is just the sum of colors that it can display. And in general, sRGB is fine if your screen can do that. If it can do more, then that is better, but not really that necessary. But let's just briefly talk about color management, which is a huge topic. So the color management thing, that would take a while to explain. It's probably it's a workshop in itself. But let's define a few things first. Color space is something that you will see when you start diving into color management. And a color space is just the amount of colors that are available in a certain medium. And those color spaces are at different sizes. They cover a different amount of colors. Let's say your computer screen, it can display a limited amount of colors. It cannot display all the colors that are there in nature. Or a print. If you print a photo on paper, again, that has a very limited amount of colors that it can display. And different color spaces on different media might mean, for example, that, let's say, the greens in a photo might not be able to be displayed as well in one medium than they are in another, and might not be printable as well. I've did a visualization about the color spaces and what they look like and how they are different in a YouTube video. I'm going to link that in the show notes. And I recently ran into that problem myself when ordering stickers for The Future of Photography, the podcast that I do with Adrian Stock. And by the way, if you're not listening, thefutureofphotography.com, and we just recorded new episodes. And that has a logo, and it's the little robot, The Future of Photography robot, Eevee, and that has a turquoise background behind it. And I ordered stickers from a sticker manufacturer that I had ordered from before. And those stickers came back, and they don't have quite the right tint in the background. They're more bluish, not as green as I had expected. And the question was why, and then I looked it up and I tried to find out what machines do they print on and what are the limitations of that. And it turns out the sticker manufacturer's printing system just can't print that tone of turquoise. Doesn't go well on that machine, doesn't work. So what they would have done is they would have done a translation of the color space into what their machine was capable of. So they had to move that tone over to the closest possible tone that their system could still print. Now, what does that have to do with your camera? Well, honestly, not too much. Your camera has its own color space. Every camera has its own color space, and that's kind of the sum of all the colors that it can capture. And it will capture those, especially the RAW photo. And then when you import your photos into, let's say, into Lightroom, Lightroom will translate that camera color space into its own internal color space. In the case of Lightroom, I think it's Profoto RGB, which is a huge color space. It's likely bigger than the color space of your camera. So that'll fit in there. It doesn't have to be squeezed and shifted to make it work. And then you work on your photos in there. And once you export the photos from Lightroom it will do another translation based on what target color space you selected. So without going into too much depth here, because again, color management can be quite complex. My general recommendation is if you're not sure and if you don't know enough about color management, your safest choice is for your exports from Lightroom to be in sRGB. That's where you create TIFFs or JPEGs and so on. But again, as long as you shoot RAW, the color space setting in your camera doesn't really matter at all. And that was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor. If you like this episode, let me know by giving Tips from the Top Floor a rating on iTunes or by supporting it any other way, Patreon, word of mouth. I'm very grateful for all your support and every bit helps. More at tfttf.com/support. Thank you. And thanks again all who participated in the Reflection Slack Challenge. And make sure you get your entries in for the November Challenge, the Silhouette Challenge. As of this recording, you only have a few weeks left for that. The doors will close end of November 2018. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, silent partner Hans Peter Kagerud Publishing, and Slack challenges by Release Pixie Matt Restitra. Armset Slack invitations by Chief Invitation Officer CIO Rusty Russ. The link to get on the Slack is in the show notes at tfttf.com/yslack. My name is Chris Marquardt. Good to be back. You'll find me on social media, including Mastodon at Chris MarquardT. Go out and take amazing photos. Be nice to each other. And happy shooting. You may be sunshine now.